to Living on Earth, heard Sundays at 5 p.m. on WDET. On the program, you've heard us report on global efforts in using renewable energies, the presidential candidate's environmental records, the development of zero-emission cars and trucks, and much, much more. You can do your part to help sustain programming that delivers the environmental news to you. Make a gift to WDET during this Green Thursday at WDET.org.
And this is Detroit Today on WDET, FM 101.9, Detroit Public Radio. I'm Craig Folley. Thanks so much for being with us. We're going to spend a little time talking about the plight of the tool and die industry these days. Obviously, with the change in manufacturing jobs here in the state of Michigan and really in the United States, the industry is taking a pretty big hit. Now, there is a group here, though, based in Michigan, called the Global Tooling Alliance that is working together, a collaboration of 16 tool and die companies that are working together to sort of change the fate of the industry here in the state. My guests are Gary Kimmon. He's with Topcraft Tool and also the president of the Global Tooling Alliance. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
And also Joe Mandeville. He is with Elite Mold and Elite Plastics and also a member of the Global Tooling Alliance. Good morning to you as well.
Good morning.
Gary, just a quick overview. What is the current state? What has happened to the tool and die industry in this region in the last decade or so?
Well, with the auto industry decline, it's forced a lot of companies, you know, into a bad situation. As everyone knows, in Detroit, we've had lots of struggles as far as, you know, trying to make money, make profit, and a lot of companies have really went out of business because of, you know, just because of the global market coming in and everyone's cutting costs, and the auto industry is just suffering right now.
And again, it is it's suffering badly. I mean, but when you talk about how many firms there used to be here in this area and how many are still in business, you know, what kind of difference are we talking about?
Well, we found there's a lot of companies and there's a lot of vacant land and a lot of vacant buildings right now just because of companies can't survive with the money that's being made with a lot of people. Everybody's taking price cuts. Our industry has taken a massive price cut as far as trying to bid jobs at how much money we used to make to what we're making now. We don't make as much money as we used to make on jobs currently we're doing now.
Well, you know, I mean, I just want to tell this story. My grandfather at age 16, mm-hmm. back in the late 20s, left his farm in Ohio, walked to Detroit, and found himself an apprenticeship at a tool and die shop. That's just not the kind of thing, Joe, I'm guessing happens too much anymore.
No, I think that was an era that's It's a little different nowadays. I think you got to realize that there's a lot more global competition. You got to realize that the demands on the customers are the fact that you're supposed to supply more services and more product in at a lower price too. So I think there's some changes that had to be made. So the reduction in labor is partly a result of the fact that we had to get better at what we were doing. We had to get more automated. So we are able to be more competitive. When you're competing on a global market, that's a it's tough because the low cost labor around the world is not something that we can have over here. So we have to be real careful about how we proceed and grow our technology to be able to be competitive.
Yeah, I still don't think that a lot of folks know exactly you know, the types of things that the tool and die industry does and just how specialized this work is, because you again have to come up with parts and pieces and tools to do these jobs. Somebody else comes up with a design and then it's up to you to find a way to make it happen. Do people overlook the importance of the industry in a lot of ways?
I think they overlook it quite a bit because most people nowadays, it's hard to find new people coming into this industry. It's not like we're used to take a tool and die job and you'd make a lot of money and do very well. Nowadays, a lot of people are moving into different fields. They don't want to go into manufacturing. So you have to really, you know, make that more better that people want to come into that field because we're losing valuable employees all the time to different markets.
And Joe, you wanted to chime in on that.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a shortage of engineering support because the fact that people just don't see this as an opportunity. So there should be a real good push by the colleges and by the government, everything, to be able to help grow that type of network of employees, because the engineering is going to be is part of what makes our manufacturing grow.
But it almost seems, though, that this is something that's just perpetuating itself, this problem. I mean, we hear about jobs being lost in the auto industry and the manufacturing sector and how all these jobs are being shipped overseas. How do you convince somebody who maybe wants to be an engineer to go into manufacturing engineering as opposed to software engineering or some sort of other type of design? Because, again, if they don't think that there's a future in this country for this business, how do you convince them otherwise?
Well, eventually, I would think that sooner or later, that's going to come to a head, because a lot of people are moving out of that industry, so there's going to become a shortage, which down the road, that will create more jobs and more opportunities for people. As you well know, a lot of companies are actually starting to struggle to get workers into their facilities because not a lot of people want to go into those fields. And down the road, if you can survive long enough, I think the companies and the business in this market will start coming back, where people will start making a little more money down the road. How soon that will be, no one knows yet.
Talk a little bit about the Global Tooling Alliance, because, again, a lot of folks don't realize that this is really there. And you probably were covered in a lot of ways before by groups like the Michigan Manufacturing Association. But why was it important to separate it out as just a tool and die organization? Why did you need to have something that was that specific?
Well, that's the state of Michigan created this program to help tool and die companies stay in business. That was the main focus of it, and to get up to 20 companies into a group to support them and give them tax credits and available things to help their business survive in the rough times that we're having right now, and to generate more things and maybe add more employees or try to get more work. With the collaborative in a Global Tooling Alliance, we all work together. We try to share jobs. We try to share work. We share knowledge. We meet once a month. We try to create more awareness that we're out there and we're trying to get work and try to promote Michigan and create business and opportunities for our employees and our businesses.
Joe, go ahead.
Yeah, what our real goal is, I guess, is to try to save our customers some money, I guess, because we are trying to be competitive on the international market. Some of the things we can learn from each other are their best practices. Some of the things that we try to do is reduce our cost by marketing together, by looking at our material cost and try to have that quoted as a group so that we can get the buying power that of a group can have. When you look at some ways it was done in the past, it was like maybe a large business that had many diverse parts of it. It would be more of an industry where it would be a union company. Now, today, we have companies like ourselves that all have our own core competency. So when we're talking about somebody that's good at molding low-volume plastic tools, that's Elite Mold Venture. When we're talking about somebody that's doing high production, that's Maple. When we're talking about some of the other guys that are doing the stamping, the assembly, we all have our competencies and our core competencies. That makes us stronger. Small companies are actually more efficient, bigger ones. So when you put them all together, you get a good reaction.
Our guests, by the way, are Gary Kimmon with Topcraft Tool and also the president of the Global Tooling Alliance, and Joe Mandeville with Elite Mold and Elite Plastics and also a member of the Global Tooling Alliance. It's interesting, Joe, that you mentioned that these small businesses are more efficient. For some reason, the tool and die industry has developed with a whole bunch of small companies, whereas a lot of the suppliers for the auto industry have developed into these larger corporations, larger companies, and of course the auto industry is dominated by a few giant companies. What is it about the tool and die industry that lent itself to being a small business as opposed to, a lot more consolidation, I guess?
Well, I think we're down at the end of the chain. I think when you look at the way the car is developed, you get the vehicle, then you got the components, and then when we get down to the tool and die, it's just a certain part of the whole thing. So when you look at how we get pushed down to the point where we have to be very efficient to be able to meet deadlines, deliveries, because some of that stuff is lost throughout the design process, throughout the build process. So as a result, entrepreneurs and small businessmen are out there trying to figure out, how do I do better? How do I be faster? So I think that is a a key to what happened to the tool and die industry is it took the entrepreneur level to be able to be close to what they're doing in the manufacturing.
You know, one of the things that the governor has been challenging about is sort of, you know, okay, taking advantage of our manufacturing capability in the state to branch out into new technologies beyond just the automotive industry. She talks about alternative energy and retooling some of these shops to be able to make the parts for wind turbines and things like that. How adaptable is the tool and die industry to these kinds of changes, to make that changeover?
Well, very adaptable. Diversification is a must for all companies in Detroit area right now because, you know, in order to compete locally and globally, we have to embrace all the new industries that hopefully are coming into our state. And with the state of Michigan and the MEDC bringing in new industries to Michigan, which is a vital part of our job security, we are actually doing work for solar companies now, wind power, all kinds of environmental stuff. There is work out there, and, you know, there is different companies that are doing stuff. And the tooling change and, you know, adapting to the new industries, it's really not much different. And there's also a lot of military work coming through also that is available out there. So those are things that you have to learn how to do it, but once you learn it, you have an opportunity then.
Joe, you looked like you wanted to chime in there,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, just like we were saying, Gary's company does a lot of military work, so I'm learning from Gary how to do work in the military fields, where my company does 50% of our work is medical and consumer products, and the other half of it's the automotive business. So what I can bring to the table is the experience in those industries that some of our other members don't have.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. My guests again, Gary Kimmon and Joe Mandeville from the Global Tooling Alliance. Our phone number, 313-577-1019. That's 313-577-1019. Perhaps your company wants to get involved in some way, or you've got questions about moving forward in this industry. Maybe you're thinking about getting a job, becoming an engineer, learning something. These guys can probably answer your questions. So we'd love to hear from you. We'll be back after a short break here on Detroit Today on WDET.
Support for WDET is provided in part by you, listeners who support public radio. For more information on how you can contribute, go online to our website at WDETFM.org.
And this is Detroit Today on WDET. I promised you a very short break, and that's indeed what it was. My guests are Gary Kimmon and Joe Mandeville with the Global Tooling Alliance. This is a group of 16 individual tool and die firms that have banded together. One, for better purchasing power, it sounds like, but originally yes. Started out as a tax break kind of a situation. But now I have to ask, you know, from a sales standpoint, is this the kind of thing where you can now, as a group, and you have just about probably every part of the business covered with these 16
correct.
Companies there, can you go out as a united front and get contracts and then steer things to the different members of the group?
That's what we've planned to do, and we have done some of that. We actually did the SAE show as a full group. And, you know, what the nice part about that is we were all down there. We all took turns in the booth. We actually created a lot of opportunities to try to generate new business. So we've done a lot of sales and marketing. We have a website out there. It's www.globaltoolingalliance.com, where you can visit that. And then you can see what each manufacturer does as far as services for your company. And we promote that. And we do a lot of promotion as far as passing out brochures. We're doing some shows. And we're looking to the future for different ways and bouncing ideas off of each other on how we can market our group to bigger audiences.
You know, Joe, I have to ask, as a member of this group, I mean, you know, have you seen a tangible benefit from it at this point in time because of that sort of collaboration?
Yeah, I think there's a real good benefit being in a group like this. I think there's 24 of these groups in Michigan right now, and I think there's a very good opportunity for the groups, if they work together in a synergy, to be able to get beyond just the Detroit area, the Michigan area, and to be able to find customers based all around the country and even internationally. I mean, we're one of the things we plan with our group is to try to have a meeting with the U.S. Department of Commerce on exporting outside the U.S. That's something that at a small company can't do. They won't get that attention. Where a group our size, they're willing to come teach us because we're able to make a bigger impact.
Yeah, that's interesting you brought that up. Exporting is a big deal. I've got a friend that manages a stamping plant over here, and they're busy as they've ever been. They've got steel going out to Russia. They've got parts going out to India, China, and they're running three shifts right now over there. There's work to be done.
Yes.
What has to be done for companies in Michigan to better market themselves? Because, again, we always talk about this expertise we have here, all these great employees that we have here. How come we're not getting more of that business that's going out of the country? Because manufacturing is happening, and they still need the parts and the pieces to make it happen and the tools.
Well, it takes some support from, like, some of the groups in the government to help us do that. One is the state of Michigan is actually promoting a super website right now to bring in more customers or potential businesses into the state and counties. Oakland County, Macomb County, they're trying to bring in new businesses that are outside of the United States and outside of our state to bring in new business, to promote business, to help the businesses, because we do have a great knowledge of wealth of knowledge around the Detroit area to build anything. And that can happen anywhere at any time. Cool. And we do a lot of online bidding too now, which is out of state. And those help too.
Joe, you wanted to say something.
Yeah, I think it is being involved in the groups that are around the city, because places like Automation Alley. Last October, I was able to go with Automation Alley on a trip to India. Visited four cities that was held through the U.S. Department of Commerce. So I was able to meet with about 40 different companies over there. There's that opportunity. You have to build those networks and those relationships. Got a chance to go to visit the Tata plant, so I could see the growth in Tata, where some of the early plant, one of the early plants we were in there was a lot of hand labor. And then when you got to the final product, where there are newer lines that are coming out, there's a lot of automation, a lot of this and that. That they're buying those products from all around the world. They're buying machinery, they're buying tools and dies and everything, because they want the best.
Yeah, I have to wonder if a lot of companies, though, tool and die firms, I mean, there's this sort of sense of loyalty to these companies that have seen you through for decades and decades, that you weren't really necessarily willing or thinking about looking outside the region for work. Do you think that plays into it a little bit? Because, again, the big three have been such a part of our lifeblood here.
Very much so. And that's why you have to become diversified in different areas now, because you can't rely on that anymore.
Well, we're going to go to the phones right now. We've got Dennis in Grosse Pointe Farms. Dennis, welcome to Detroit Today. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, you want to hear my question?
Absolutely.
Well, my question basically is for the Detroit Alliance is that I know it's a tough economy around here and everything, but I'm wondering if they ever consider going the route of some companies like Boeing out on the West Coast that tend to employ more handicapped people, visually or otherwise, in that maybe they have jobs that are sort of small, repetitive task jobs that, that may be available out there for people, you know.
That
have those problems, I don't know. I guess that's pretty much it.
All right. Well, okay. Opportunities for those that may not be necessarily employable in a lot of situations. Any response to that question from Dennis there?
Well, and one thing we are doing is one of our employees that I'm actually looking to hire right now. Is handicapped. He's hearing impaired.
Mm-hmm.
But I happen to know him as a good engineer. He can still do the job. He can do exactly what he needs to do, and he's very talented. So I think it's just a matter of trying to be able to, you get the opportunities to be able to support, the whole community. And I think, we buy some things from groups like that are already selling their products. And we use that to help support our cleaning and some of our products that we use in our shop. So they're out there manufacturing, and we try to support that type of activity.
Right. We had a call that came in. She didn't want to come on the air, but it was Claire from the Rochester Hills Economic Development Corporation. She wants to know how the tool and die, how you guys see local government working with them to make improvements. What do you need from government?
Well, we need their support, and I can't say enough about Clinton Township. I think they're pro-business, and they want to keep the business in their area, which is very good. We've had a lot of success with the Michigan Manufacturers Association, the state of Michigan, Jim Eppolito from the MEDC, Margaret and Terry Lang, Margaret O'Reilly and Terry Lang from Butzel Long have helped us. We've had a lot of good support from a lot of the groups and government around town.
Is there anything, Joe, that you think they could be doing better to support you in these endeavors, or have you had a pretty good relationship?
Well, one thing, I don't know if Gary mentioned, but the Michigan Manufacturers Association has been really good for us. They are out there to try to build this type of a atmosphere for good business in Michigan. Yeah, can the government do more? Yeah, they probably can. They need to be able to help us, train us to audit in other industries beyond the automotive. I know there's groups like PTAC that are out there, but the government resources that are available, it's still hard to actually learn the new type of a business that's non-automotive. So I know a lot of people go to some of these seminars and conferences, and they come away as, well, I don't have all the information I need to be successful in it. So it requires a lot of help.
All right, and we got a comment that came in on the blog, and we've got about a minute left, Gary, and I want to leave this one for you. This is from Larry, who says, talent is leaving Michigan. The state has squandered its future. My question for you is, do you agree, and what is the future of this industry in this state?
Well, I disagree. I think the longer that everybody can hang around and survive, we're going to be a lot better off, and the companies that do survive will become stronger in this economy and learn to diverse, and just being in the groups and stuff with that has been a huge benefit for us. Just the networking opportunities have been huge. That has created a lot more work between all of our companies as we share work and share ideas.
Well, you know, it's always nice to sort of get an upbeat assessment of industry in this day and age when things are contracting as much as they are. So I certainly wish you guys a lot of luck. I think it's an innovative idea, and don't be surprised if you get some phone calls for people wanting to join the group soon.
Oh, that would be great.
All right, Gary Kimmon is with Topcraft Tool and also the president of the Global Tooling Alliance. Joe Mandeville is with Elite Mold and Elite Plastics and also a member of the Global Tooling Alliance. Gentlemen, thank you for giving us an update on your industry. And again, it's something that we'd like to find out about what's going on. So
thank you, Greg.
Absolutely.
Appreciate it.
This is Detroit Today on WDET, Detroit Public Radio. Stay with us. We've got a lot more coming up in the next hour of the program, including a discussion with an author about a new book about the history.